The House by Christopher Lee, a seasonal episode starring Julian Glover as Charles Bannister and Timothy West as Dougal Baxter, with Sarah Bedell as Mary Bannister, Christopher Benjamin as Henry Colville, and Ruth Gemmell as Polly Bannister.
There you are. Dark, very hot and very gutsy. Looks quite disgusting.
It's tea as it should be. You know, during the war...
Here we go again.
Sailors would have put half a tin of condensed milk in this. Ah, lovely.
After last night, I'd have thought you'd have wanted something a bit stronger. I love him dearly, but that was all too much.
No, you don't. You're on Roz's side.
Nothing to do with taking sides. It's simply... Well, you know, we promised ourselves a quiet family Christmas down here.
Plus your brother.
Miles away from London and everything, and there you are, half the night on the telephone like some marriage guidance counsellor.
Dougal's a friend. Aren't friends supposed to do that sort of thing? Especially at this time of year.
But why? Why does it have to be at this time of the year?
Oh, it is. Christmas and family disasters go hand in hand.
Well, why did this particular disaster choose to come here? Oh, I'm sorry, Charles, I really am. I didn't mean that, but... I've got this horrid feeling that everything's going to go gloomy instead of bright and, well, Christmassy.
No, it won't. I promise. Look, why don't we open a bottle of something fizzy?
It's only just gone 9 o'clock.
Not in Hong Kong, it isn't. Anyway, the sound of a discreetly popped Dom Perignon might budge that snoring brother of yours.
Let's wait until he's up and Polly and Dougal are back. It'll get everyone in the mood.
Oh, okay. Thought it'd be nice just for the two of us, that's all.
I'm sorry. Oh, stupid woman, stop saying that. Let's wait for Henry, at least.
The way your brother attacked those hymns last night, you'd have thought he'd been full of Christmas cheer for a week. He really was in fine voice.
Henry trying to outshout the choir is not what I call fine voice. He normally refuses to worship anywhere but Hanover Square or the Abbey itself. He regards anything beyond the three great parks and the city as the Styx.
Do you know, he asked me if we were on cesspool drainage. When I said yes, there was a huge silence. When you think how often he's been down...
It's pure affectation. It's getting worse. He now calls Fortnum's a supermarket.
Come off it.
And shops only on the south side of Jermyn Street.
I suppose there are enough boring characters around. At least he's not that.
I thought people like him were supposed to be, so you didn't notice them.
Perhaps MI6 is full of people who've risen without trace.
Anyway, you haven't heard the latest.
Traditionally, anonymity breeds Knight's Bachelor. Though, curiously enough, never a coronet.
Doesn't need one. He's got a nightcap.
Rot.
No, it's not. And it's got a bobble on the end.
What, from our side of the tree?
No, not at all. Anyway, this is an odd number year. Socks and hankies for everyone. It's his. He's wearing it.
He's pulling your leg. Henry doesn't wear nightcaps.
You didn't tell me. I saw it. I took him his tea this morning, and there he was. Head back, mouth open, Larry Adler sounds through the nostrils, and this brilliant flannel thing on his head.
Godfather James.
I promise. Scarlet. He looked like a fat, defrocked Santa Claus after a night out on the chimney.
Worcester! Worcester! Come on, you stupid animal. Here!
Well, I never imagined I'd be doing this on Christmas morning. Oh, look. On that gate. A robin.
Probably super glued on by Daddy's agent to impress you. Look at the way he was all grovel just now. I bet that's the first time the vicar's seen him since last Christmas.
Oh, pleasant enough, ma'am. And intelligent. His thoughts about my speech on moral dignity were very encouraging. Virtue is little applauded in these times.
Communion obviously brings out the best in you.
Well, I must say there's little like cold church and a bracing walk to remind me that virtue need cost nothing more than 50p in the plate.
Most people put in a pound.
Most people should. To my mind, absolution is but a temporary respite, and therefore 50p would seem adequate penance.
Depends what you've done.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I can tell you very little on an empty stomach and at this time of the morning.
Worcester! Worcester, come on then. I didn't know skins had sell-by dates. Is that what the great heart-to-heart with Daddy was about last night?
I seem to remember that Mary, your mother, always does good breakfast.
Joke, sorry. Don't worry, you'll be able to smell the bacon a mile away. What about your minder back there?
Oh, probably eats like a horse, most policemen do.
It looks rather interesting. Nice eyes. Why can't he walk with us?
He could, but they let me have a little privacy now and then. Besides, I hardly think your mother would want him tramping over the drawing-room carpet.
Well, she wouldn't mind. It's open house down here. I reckon she's crazy. In London, she leaves it all to Mrs. Arnold. When we come down here, she's a totally different person. Goes all mumsy in thick pyjamas. She does nothing but cook. She really does. All the constituency hangers-on for lunch, coffee mornings. Oh.
Well, women like to know where they are. They thrive on routine. You'll discover that for yourself one day.
And if I don't?
Oh, yes, you will. You're a woman. And before you put on your Guardian's special offer look of carbonic disdain, I'll tell you that whatever the social changes we've made...
You've made? You haven't done a thing. A couple of ministers' wives get really non-jobs, and you call that equality.
No, I don't, but I don't pretend to believe...
Oh, you're just like Daddy. You two do nothing else but just pretend about anything that's really important. You don't believe anything we say. I've never heard such rubbish in all my life. You think you run everything. Sometimes you make me wonder...
You see, you're proving my point for me. Whatever changes we've made, a woman is still an excitable creature who has only one stable environment, in the kitchen and in the bedroom. I am as liberal as the next man, but I'm sorry, that's the reality of it.
Is that why Mrs. Baxter isn't here? Hmm? She knows her place, even on Christmas Day.
This must be the oldest arga in Christendom. I mean, who else would be stoking a thing like this on Christmas Day?
When we came in last night, you were boasting to Henry that it was the best bottom warmer in Hampshire.
So it may be, but it's still a pain.
You won't say that when the goose is all crisp and the pudding moist. Oh, isn't this bliss? I've been so looking forward to it. A real Christmas altogether, haven't you?
Yes.
No phones, holly from our own tree with real berries, no panics, no division bells for this one day, no number 10 being pompous. It's just us. Well, almost us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Poor old Dougal. I can hardly say no, especially at Christmas. You could see how upset he was.
So, Rudolph has risen. Happy Christmas, snoring
Bill. Morning, old man. Merry Christmas.
So, here we all are. Would Dickens not have been at home? Oak beams, free-range holly, red berries, designer baking smells from a glowing range, and a dear rosy-cheeked sister with a portable mistletoe.
And another.
Oh, but I mean full flow. Well, if you really must. Oh, the gay and festive scene. The halls of dazzling light, and a merry, merry tide to you both.
I take it you've already been at the ginger wine in your stocking.
I fear not, dear boy. I'm sorry, truly, that was it. My big Christmas effort, I'm done for now. Absolute decline, exhausted. I fear there's no energy for another word until amen at grace.
Before I lay the pennies on your eyes, tea?
Lemon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how very wicked of me to even inquire. Please, where is everyone? Have I missed Christmas?
Polly and Dougal, 8 o'clock communion. Worcester's with them, though his sins are less forgivable. There you are.
Thank you, my dear. Ah, Worcester, such a delightful, intelligent dog. The perfectly hidden background. Still, we all have our secrets.
You'd soon be out of business if we didn't.
Actually, Worcester thinks he's almost a Briard, though we tend towards Part Airedale.
Oh, talking of secrets...
Charles.
What's all this about a nightcap?
Charles, really?
Yes, Charles, really. Is nothing sacred?
Almost, if worn by a cardinal, I suppose. No, but honestly, Henry, I'm intrigued. I wouldn't have the courage to walk into a shop and ask for a nightcap. Not even sure I'd know where to buy one.
One may buy almost any suitable item in Jermyn Street. Or this one may. As it happens, it was a gift.
Oh.
And a very thoughtful one.
What interesting friends you have.
Caring, I would suggest. The thought of me passing Christmas at the mercy of the draughts and dampnesses of your 17th century bedchambers was too much for a dear friend.
Such an admirer.
Admirer? Yes, I suppose so. Though I wonder for my years. Obviously it is considered that I've reached a certain age when such a garment would not be seen as an affectation.
Like monogrammed carpet slippers?
How perceptive. What do you think? Not too ostentatious?
Purple velvet is, well, rather royal.
We thought so.
What about the blazer? Same admirer?
I thought you would never ask. Now I will watch you drool. Isn't it magnificent?
It is.
Guess.
Looks like a dirty old blazer to me. Oxfam?
Oxfam? Oxford?
Yes, dear. Your Oscar Wilde's very, very good. It always was. We give up.
Charles, surely you don't.
Well, it's the wrong green for Australia. No, sorry, I don't know.
It was Ranji's.
It wasn't. Ranji, his own?
Honest Injun, Ranji's. It was a present.
Golly, look, Henry's got one of Ranji's blazers. Same admirer.
Oh, that's a secret.
Oh, super. Hooray for Ranji, whoever he is.
Is, darling?
K.S. Ranji Sinji, the late Maharaja of Nawaligarh.
Oh, that Ranji. Why didn't you say it?
The greatest batsman who ever lived.
Yes, of course, darling. More tea?
If I may. And it fits. Of course, it was probably one of his later ones.
Absolutely. After all, one wouldn't be seen dead in one of his earlier ones, would one? There you are. Now, don't spill it. Otherwise, they'll be pouring round to the Red Fort, seeking revenge.
It should be the easiest of all the Christian festivals. It isn't.
From someone who spent the past year preaching about moral dignity, that's great.
Is that what I've been doing?
That's what you called it.
I mean preaching. You said I've been preaching.
Anyone who makes speeches about morality has to be preaching. It's nothing to be ashamed of, as long as you believe it.
Tell me, Polly, do you mind me being here?
No. Why should I? You're an old friend of Mummy and Daddy's, and you're obviously lonely. Happy Christmas.
Me? Nonsense.
Suit yourself. You should know. Look, if we go across here, we can be home in 5 minutes, okay?
I'm not about to expire, if that's what you're hoping.
What? What? Come on, this way. Can you manage?
Your concern for my condition is touching, but I assure you, hardly necessary. What did you mean by lonely?
You are. Otherwise you wouldn't be here. You'd be at home with your wife. Or someone else's.
That's quite uncalled for.
Probably, sorry. Christmas brings out the worst in me.
Look, I didn't mean to intrude. As you say, your mother and father are old friends.
Oh, people are so damn sensitive at Christmas. They either dread it or they look forward to it and demand that everyone else does.
That's very cynical for your age.
I thought my age was supposed to be cynical, even if I am female.
You know what your father said. Come down for Christmas and forget everything. Just relax and enjoy yourself. And here I am, chastened from the cup of a priest whose church I little approve, exhausted from a walk I would never normally consider, belly rumbling from hunger, and now I'm being lectured on morality. Whatever, I ask myself, whatever happened to the season of goodwill to all men?
Do be careful, you're going quite red.
I think one more than I'm done for.
What again? I'd have thought blowing up things, even balloons, was quite in your line.
Oh, dear boy, I leave the puffing of hot air into empty spaces for the likes of you.
Touché. You know, when I was a boy, I once kept a Christmas balloon for 3 weeks.
Charles, how clever. Whatever for?
It was a Christmas balloon. I simply didn't want it to end.
But you don't much like Christmas. You never have. Not since I've known you, anyway.
The sadness of a lonely youth, locked in his dreams with the red balloon. How touching.
There we are. Last one. That's enough for in here. Now, where shall I put them?
Careful. They'll all burst on this gorgeous holly.
I suspect I'm like a lot of people. I don't much care for Christmas now because... Well, because I can't recapture something I believed I once had.
As we get older, dear heart, Christmas becomes a festival of remembrance. Each year there are more and more memories to cope with. You're not alone with your nostalgia nor your sadness.
Look at poor old Dougal. Mm.
I confess I hadn't expected to find myself diving for sixpence in the pudding with the Home Secretary this year.
Sorry about that. Actually, it rather surprised us.
Mm-hmm. What about Mrs. Baxter?
Roz, as far as I know, she's gone to Scotland.
The family home.
God knows what she'll do there. It's an enormous pile. Millions of rooms, not a candle of heating, and probably snow up to the battlements.
Poor old Dougal, what a Christmas.
Poor old Dougal? What about Roz? She's the one by herself. We'd all be doing the decent thing trying to cheer him up.
I assume this all came about because of the young lady with whom he was, taking tea.
Kay Bennett? No, that's all over. No, I think it's simply two people who really have little left in common.
Or ever had.
You're sure the romantic interlude is over?
Hardly an interlude. It was a full-length feature. It was going on for 10 years.
Had to finish, really. You know she wanted him to leave, Roz.
So I heard. Most unsavoury.
That was that. She got her marching orders. Anyway, as Home Secretary, he's always got his bodyguard with him. Not the right atmosphere for an affair.
I didn't know there had to be.
What about Miss Bennet? Does she yearn still for the favours of our wayward Scot?
Why she would bother, I don't know. Do you know, he threatened to spread dirt about her to the gossip columns. He was going to make her out to be nothing but a high-class whore.
It happened before. I'm surprised there isn't something in parliamentary procedure about it.
Oh, let's forget it, shall we? I refuse to allow Dougal or anyone else to foul up this year. I'm determined that we'll remember this Christmas because of lots to eat, crackers, chestnuts and stockings, and not the ones Dougal likes to get his hand on.
Darling, Mary's right. It's Yuletide, not Halloween. Only good spirits should be abroad today. Any more tea?
Just about. Hello, the unlikely worshippers are back. I'll make some fresh.
Best if we don't mention...
Naturally, as if I would.
Oh, hi. Had a good walk? Oh, Whisker, look out, you're drowning me.
See, what did I tell you?
kettle at the ready as soon as the door opens. A perfect farmer's wife.
A welcome sight to a parched and hungry soul.
Good morning. Mm. Happy Christmas, Uncle Hen. Hey, where did you get it?
Mm. You too, my dear. You smell disgustingly fresh. Oh, greetings.
What? Oh, yes. Good morning.
You're properly purged?
Yes.
Come on, it's really nice.
Chastised, more like it. Banishment to the colonies was on the cards at one time.
It's a secret.
Oh, for you.
Still, if you can see Ranji thingy, you can tell him Henry's looking after his blazer for him.
Oh, please.
What about your police?
No, he's all right. He's checking the barn. By the by,
Oi, hush, you two.
There weren't any calls for me, were there?
Oh, it's really brilliant, Uncle Hen.
What?
Can I have it for New Year's Eve? What's for breakfast?
We thought we'd just have toast. Is it so late? All right.
I fear not, Polly. It's
toast. I thought we were
perfectly brought up.
Well, yes, fine, I suppose.
It once belonged to Ranjit Singh. Were you expecting something, Dougal? The department? Anything going on?
No. Just a thought.
You sure toast's all right? I mean, I could boil you an egg or something. Well,
Ranjit, really?
If it's no trouble, I may say that long walk.
Ranjit?
Does give one a bit of an appetite.
Well, everyone's heard of him, sure.
Now, Mary, you really mustn't go to any trouble on my account. You're no totally fine.
So all those days off school at Lord's weren't wasted after all. We'll become men of you yet, my guy.
According to some people, I'm too excitable for that.
Well, fancy you knowing about Ranji. Toast. Are you sure?
Well,
her father's daughter, aren't you?
maybe a poached egg?
Well, when it suits her.
Well, never mind. I suppose, after all, it is a bit late.
You wait till they hear about this in the Star and Wheelbarrow. Perhaps they'll let you score for the village next season.
Or even do the teas. Great, really great.
Perhaps clean the captain's boots, oil his back.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dougal. What was that? Just see
him. That'll be fine, if there is any, that is.
Well, we normally have a huge breakfast.
Yes, so I seem to remember.
But we thought something light.
Yes, of course.
And then perhaps you'd all want to listen to the Queen's broadcast.
We haven't missed it, have we?
No, 9:30. Okay.
Yes, I always listen, of course. Part of Christmas. Tea, did you say?
Very Christian.
I confess I always mean to, but usually forget.
Oh, well, as you can imagine, I make it my business to do so. It's always important to hear what the monarch has to say. An old-fashioned sense of values, perhaps, but very real to me.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker. Point of order. That's the way it
goes. Well, I really don't see that that's particularly funny.
You asked for that. Relax. It's Christmas.
Goodwill to all and sundry.
I don't somehow think he's convinced, I.
Now, if you want my opinion.
I bet not many people listen anymore.
We do.
I most certainly do. There are some things
Uncle
worth
Hen
doing
doesn't.
These days.
Oh, he says so.
Damned in a moment of my own weakness.
I bet most people don't even know it's on and couldn't care less.
Dougal, I'm sorry. You still haven't had your tea.
No, not to worry. Unless you're making some friends.
They're either still in bed or wondering how they're going to pay for everything when the access bill arrives. I don't suppose she has that problem.
Really?
Yes, really.
If you feel so strongly about it all, young lady, I'm surprised you're not working for Crisis at Christmas or in a soup kitchen instead of sitting here in comfort waiting for the turkey to arrive.
Goose. The fact that there are soup kitchens proves my point.
Hmm?
We're having goose, not turkey. We haven't done that for ages. Charles says it's a bit fatty, but I think it's so much more traditional, don't you? You remember? Christmas is coming, the goose is getting
brown. Stop it.
I wonder if I should change into something more formal for Her Majesty.
Charles, I don't want to be a nuisance, but are you sure there hasn't been a call for me?
Oh, dear, whatever happened to church bells and nice
telephone
call?
There's telephone. Never mind.
I wonder what the royal family does. Do they all sit around the wireless as the monarch speaks?
Well, tradition has it that they watch it on television after lunch.
Television? In the afternoon? The royal family?
I bet the Queen Mum makes them. She's lovely. Even if it is rent-a-speech.
I think you'll find that the more reasonable and responsible in our society are aware of the deep thought that the palace puts into the broadcast.
What did she say last year?
Don't look at me. I'm a confessed sinner. I wasn't even up.
Charles, don't you remember?
Oh, come on, you must do.
Yes, wait a minute. It was something to do with the family of nations in the Commonwealth, wasn't it?
Was it? I don't know.
It slipped my mind. Of course, I listened very carefully at the time.
It was all about anniversaries, the Armada.
It was.
200 years of Australia, that sort of thing.
Polly, how clever.
Not really. I thought it was interesting. After all, you'd expect an Elizabeth to have something to say about the Armada, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, of course. Actually, of course, now you're
bravo! Angry. Well done, my dear. Ranjian royalty in one morning, not bad. Obviously an imperialist at heart. Now, I must go. Ranjit Singh's finest shall return to its mothballed box and I to something more suitable. Please excuse me, I must change formatting.
There's no hurry, Henry. I've got to get ready, too.
Yes, dear sister, but as you know, I take so much longer to dress than you.
Old fraud.
3 suitcases he arrived with. He's only staying until Wednesday.
Well, he's certainly an elegant dresser.
Oh, you haven't heard about the latest addition to his wardrobe?
Charles.
Come on, Dougal won't say anything.
No, of course not. I've long understood the sensitive coalition of discretion and knowledge.
Carnal or academic?
I don't think they know the difference.
Oh, go away. We're not in. Oh, absolutely. This is the urbane, discreet, confidential Mandarin set at work. Hello, Broad Windsor Farm.
You're saying?
Yes,
he is. Oh, no, it doesn't matter. I seem funny at the time.
Fine, just a minute. Dougal, to you.
Do you want to take it on the extension in the hall?
Right. Did they say...
Someone called personal.
Ah, of course. Right. In the lobby, you said?
Not quite, but it's the same place. You know where it is. You'll see it flash.
Yes?
Just pick it up.
Aye, thanks.
Who was that? The department?
Not exactly.
Oh. Male? Female?
Yes.
Hello?
Oh, I see. Female.
It was not Roz.
Yes, yes, of course.
You didn't expect it to be, did you?
I don't know that I expected anything.
It's 11:30. The flat.
Let's clear, shall we?
God, this is pathetic. I need some clean air. I'm going to see the new loose boxes. Come on, Worcester.
So much for poor old Dougal.
Yes, well, I'll just get some boiler fuel in and see if the sergeant's all right. Won't be a moment. Blast, blast, blast. I'm sorry, darling. My godfather, James. With friends like Dougal, who needs family?
Well, I was rather hoping we did, darling.
Oh, everyone's gone.
Oh, so they have.
Well, can I help?
Well, I suppose you could check the loose boxes or get the coal in if you really wanted to.
Oh.
No, don't you worry. Nearly done.
And Charles?
Coal.
Oh, yes, of course.
Not really. He does it instead of chopping wood. Of course, it doesn't attract the same attention in Hampshire as it does in California.
No, I imagine that's true.
Is everything all right, Dougal?
Hmm? Oh, yes, of course. Why not? It's Christmas.
Yes, it is, isn't it? That would explain everything.
It's a little embarrassing. The telephone, that is.
Crossed lines, you mean?
Well, indirectly. Look, I'm not sure how to say this, Mary, not after you and Charles were so kind.
You're leaving.
What? How do you know that? I mean, not exactly leaving.
Yes, you do.
Well, yes, I suppose I am.
No, Dougal, I suppose you are. You know you are.
That was on the telephone. That was...
Not Roz.
No, not Roz. But you know that.
Yes. An old friend?
Kay Bennett. Well, you didn't know her, but Charles did, of course.
I rather hope not. Hmm? I'm sorry. Cheap joke. Bad taste. No, I thought that was all over. Obviously not.
Well, it was, and then it wasn't.
I seem to remember she was being a trifle difficult, tiresome.
No, not anymore.
How sensible of her.
Oh, she saw reason. Anyway, as you know, Roz and I have our different careers, and mine being the more important has brought more aggravated pressure.
Miss Bennett is understanding.
Well, of course, women are.
As a species, we're very generous. But today, of all days, Dougal, it is your turn to be generous, and you are going to see her.
Yes, well, she's by herself. We thought we'd find somewhere for a spot of lunch.
Ah.
Of course, it may be a bit late to book anyone.
I'm sure Miss Bennett won't let you go hungry. After all, it is Christmas.
Oh, she's very efficient.
Yes, Dougal, we do tend to be.
Yes, of course.
Well, that saves me asking when you'll be leaving.
Hmm? Oh, yes, in fact, if you'd excuse me, I'd better go and pack. I'm sorry, Mary, this must be very embarrassing for you.
Yes, I suppose it must. So much for the inconvenience of a Metropolitan Police bodyguard. I wonder what he does when they're, where's that bubbly? Whoops. Nearly half past. Well, ma'am, I'm not sure if this is a celebration or what. I hate to tell you, but your loyal government seems to be, otherwise engaged this year. Never mind. I'm all ears. Cheers. Happy Christmas.
In that episode of The House, you heard Julian Glover as Charles Bannister, Timothy West as Dougal Baxter, Sarah Bedell as Mary Bannister, Christopher Benjamin as Henry Colville, and Ruth Gemmell as Polly Bannister. The House was written by Christopher Lee and produced by Martin Fisher. ¶¶